All right. Well, we're going to start in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And today we're going to talk about the fact that we need to know who we are. And if we know who we are and we know where we came from spiritually, and then we need to know how and when to speak, because we've been talking this month about harvest, and harvest is gathering in a crop. But in order to do that, we need to know who we are. And so we're going to talk about that. So James chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, it says, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." First fruits is a harvest term, when you get the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. Verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, for what you've already spoken to us. Help us, God, to continue to hear from you and to be doers of your word, of what you're telling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as I said, we need to know who we are, where we came from. So this verse, the first verse of chapter 18, of chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Of his own will," talking about God, "of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." Now, that word "brought us forth" is also translated "begat" in King James. If you read in King James and you get to a certain place in the King James Bible, you will get to "this one begat this one, and this one begat this one, and this one begat this one." And it's talking about this child was birthed from this father, and et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. It also means to generate, which means to bring into existence. So it says, "Of his own will," of God's own will, "he brought us into existence by the word of truth." So who we are comes from his word and his truth. And the sooner and the more that we understand that and learn to walk in that, it will change the way that we live. Because when we're focused even on where we came from, you know, well, my family's always been this way, and I'm always going to feel this way because I've always struggled with that. Or, you don't understand, this is what I came from, and this is who I've always been, and this is what my family is like. The more that we focus on that, we can miss who God has brought us forth to be. And this says, "Of his own will, the Father, Almighty God, who created us, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." The more of the word of truth that we get implanted on the inside of us, the more that it will change how we view ourselves and consequently how we view everything else. How we view God, how we view the people around us. It's very important that we understand these things. And listen, this is not just a one-time deal. This is a continual thing that we need to understand who we are, where we came from. This is very important because we're going to look at the fact that even Jesus, if you notice in Matthew chapter 4, Satan attacked who Jesus was. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are,'" this part stood out to me. I felt like the Lord led me to study Matthew chapter 4. And I had never really noticed how much, twice in the tempting of Jesus. Jesus was, he dealt with three specific temptations. And this time when Satan tempted him, and two of them, Satan started off by saying, "If you are, then do this." In other words, if you are really the Son of God, then prove it by doing this. While most of us, if somebody says, "If you are really blank, 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 then prove it," what happens? All of a sudden, our defenses begin to rise, and all of a sudden, we want to prove exactly what they have just told us to prove. Because we feel the need that if you're going to challenge who I am, then I'm going to show you who I am. And I believe that's exactly what the enemy was doing with Jesus. If you are really the Son of God, then turn these stones, tell these stones to become bread. And so notice what Jesus said. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And so Jesus here, if you look up, this is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Jesus quoted. And when he quoted this, the chapter that it's that he's quoting in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it was talking about the people in the wilderness and how it said Moses is talking to the people in Deuteronomy and how God had brought them into the wilderness and he humbled them and allowed them to hunger. And so here, Jesus, rather than allowing, Jesus already knew who he was. And so the enemy trying to tempt him by getting him to prove who he was by turning stones into bread, Jesus took care of that because he already knew who he was. Listen, if we will know who we are, then when the enemy comes at us, if you are, then prove it. If you are this, then prove it. Then we will be able to fight the temptation that the enemy, because the enemy wanted Jesus to do something rash here. Because God had called him, he was on a fast. He had been fasting 40 days. The Bible says that he was hungry. So he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And so the enemy comes with first, if you are, prove it. And then prove it by turning these stones, telling these stones to become bread. And so Jesus, though, because he knew who he was, then he didn't give in to the flesh. He didn't do a miracle just to prove who he was. The second one, it says in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus, however, knew who he was, and the enemy's tactic to get him to prove something and make a rash decision here didn't work because he knew who he was. We as Christians have got to know who we are. We've got to know where we came from and how we got there. Because the Bible says that if we forget, then we become blinded and we forget who we were. We forgot the fact that we were cleansed from our sins. And that can bring a whole lot of problems in the way that we deal with people. Because if we forget that we've been forgiven, it's real easy to become self-righteous and begin judging everybody else. And it changes our whole mentality. But Jesus knew who he was. It was important that that question be settled in his mind because it would come up over and over. We need to understand this because at first I was kind of like, you know, it feels like, I mean, as Christians, well, we know that we're children of God if we've believed. But the truth is, if this was something that the enemy fought so hard against Jesus, why do we think that he wouldn't fight it with us? He does. And here in John chapter 8, the Jewish people wanted to know. They said to him in John chapter 8, verse 25 through 30, and we're going to talk about what this has to do with how we talk and what we say. But right now, I just really feel like we need to get this. We need to understand that this was something that the enemy attacked. This was something that people asked Jesus, who are you? If you know who you are, if you know that you came because it was God's will to reveal truth to you and to bring you into relationship with him, to bring you into existence in his kingdom by the word of truth, it will change how you live. It will change the way that you think. It will change the way that you respond to people. It will change. And so in John chapter 8, verse 25, it says the Jewish people asked him this. Then they said to him, who are you? Talking to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of their Father. So whenever they questioned who Jesus was, he would point to the Father. Listen, whenever we begin to question who we are, because the more that you become inwardly focused, and I understand this because I have struggled with this in the past, and I still struggle sometimes. With just getting so inwardly focused. If I am this and just struggling with what, you know, with the struggles that I have and the weaknesses that I have and the things that maybe I didn't do just right and then confusion begins to come in and all of these things. If we will in those moments begin to do what Jesus did, focus on the Father. Notice, he said, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me. We got to make it about Jesus, because if we make it about the Father and Jesus, if we make it about him instead of making it about us, He's the rock. He is always the same. He's not going to change. And so if we refocus and realign ourselves every time, I'm telling you, and I've said this lots of times, but it's true in my own life. Every time that you find yourself stressed out and anxious and forgetting who you are and able to walk in the things that God has called you to, look at who you are looking at. Are you looking at yourself? Are you looking at other people? Because if you look at both of those, if you get too focused on yourself or too focused on other people, it will stop the flow of what God is trying to do in your life. If you in that moment will go, who am I am looking inward. I am completely focused inward. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we don't confess. If we have sin, if there are things in our lives that need to be dealt with, even that, you know how we do that? We say to God, God, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Because even me looking at myself, sometimes I honestly don't know. I'm like, God, I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm right or wrong because I could be justifying myself. I could be telling myself that I'm okay. I could be talking myself out of, you know, whatever conviction. So God, would you search my heart? Even that, we need to put it back on God. We need to refocus on him and say, God, would you search my heart? And would you show me? And if we will allow him to, then if something comes to your mind, just repent. Say, God, I am sorry that I didn't handle that the right way. Would you please forgive me? And then go on in your relationship with God. Listen, this is daily walk Christianity. Because all of us will struggle whether we're actually sinning or whether the enemy is condemning us. Either way, the best thing to do in those moments, because that's how the enemy stops the flow of us being able to walk with God, hear his voice, obey him, accomplish great things for his kingdom, is he just gets us all focused on ourselves or all focused on other people. Either way will stop the flow of what God's trying to do in us. So what do we do? Like I just said, you say to God, if it's within and you're worried that you're just so focused on the way that you're missing it, then just say to God, God, would you search me? And would you show me? And then if things come to your mind, then you say to God, God, I missed it here. Please forgive me. If you're not even sure, God, if I missed it there, would you just forgive me? Because you know that really I want to get it right. And I'm not even sure. So if that was wrong, then Lord, just forgive me. And then move on in your Christian life. Do not allow the enemy to stop it right there. If you find that you are so focused on other people, the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So God, I just lift this person up to you. God, this situation is really causing me, I'm really anxious over it. So God, I thank you that you see the truth and you know exactly what needs to be dealt with here and how this situation needs to be handled. So God, I present it to you and I ask you to show me what to do. And then you move on. You keep going. So Jesus focused on the Father. It says, verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those. Oh, sorry, I skipped over. Let me go back. John chapter 8, verse 27. And they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. So the people didn't understand, but that's okay. Because people don't always understand what we're saying. We have to focus, keep our focus on him. So verse 28, we're going to continue on in John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Jesus spoke the words that the Father told him to speak. This is the second part. So the first part is, and I really feel like you need to know who you are. And you need to know who you are because of the fact that God has called you. The Bible says that none of us can come unless the Father draw us. We forget that it's God's will for us to be in right relationship with him more than it's even ours. He is the one who drew us first. And so often we can lose sight of that and we can forget how important that is. And I just really feel that we need to understand who we are. And you need to understand that if the devil tells you, if you are really, just know that you're in good company. He said the same thing to Jesus. So that temptation, it's we're going to be tempted with those things. That's when we need to say, I am who I am because of what the Word of God says, not based on how I feel, not because I feel like a Christian, not because I feel like a child of God. I am who I am because of what the Word of God says about me, because it is more true than our feelings or than anything else. And so when we know who we are, and as we continually know who we are, then we can know when and what to speak. Here, Jesus said, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to say. And this is very important for us as Christians that we understand. I want to connect these two. So James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, and this is the one we read at the beginning. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Often, as people, we are the opposite. We are slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to wrath. And that's a dangerous combination. And so here in the Word, we see that we need to be swift, which means prompt or ready. We need to be ready to hear. Listen, if we want to bring about what God is wanting to see happen in the earth, which I believe that it's his desire that there be a harvest of people come to know him. I believe that it's his desire that people understand the gospel, the good news, that Jesus came to set people free, that God loved them, that God is calling them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If we're going to be a part of that harvest, then we have to be willing to speak what God is telling us to say. And not just speak our own words. And that happens as we are swift to hear. We need to have our ears open to what God is wanting to say. But often we miss what God is wanting to say because we're so busy already talking. We need to be quiet and still, like what even what happened earlier today. Listen, I know that we can often discount some of the most important times that we spend with the Lord. Because we're so used to doing. Like Janine said about George Mueller, often we're like, I need to accomplish, I need to do, I need to say, I need to go into. The most important thing that we can do is hear from God. Because then when we speak, the words will have power. You can say a whole, you can talk for an hour and not say as much as somebody who says in 1 minute, if they say exactly what God would have them to say. And so as Christians, we need to be swift, ready to hear what God would have us to say. And then we need to be quick to speak when he's telling us to speak, but only what he's telling us to say. Janine, I'm going to ask her to come up in just a minute because she had an opportunity this past week to witness to somebody. Well, yeah, that's fine.
I have felt to minister to this one particular girl. And so I had started praying for her and I'd invited her to church and she was kind of like, okay. And, but I kept feeling to minister to her. And so I went out into the car and I was like, Lord, she's young, you know, she's got her whole life ahead of her. Most people don't want to give their lives to the Lord. They want to sow their wild oats and do all this stuff and, you know, live my life and then I'll come to the Lord. So I was like, Lord, just show me how to minister to her. And that quickly, he gave me a vision of her life. Now, I didn't see specifics, but I saw generally she got married, she got divorced, she had kids all over the place. And then she came back to the Lord broken, messed up, and with all this baggage. And I mean, that quickly, that picture, I was like, oh my gosh, she needs Jesus right now. You know, I mean, it changed my perspective that quickly. And the Lord then said, if she does make all those mistakes that the enemy wants her to make, I will love her in them. And when she comes back to me years down the road, I will love her through that mess. But you can't get time back. People need to, as soon as the Lord speaks, people need to respond because we save ourselves so much drama and pain when we do.
And so because Janine took the time to say, Lord, even just, Lord, what is the benefit? Help me to see what you want me to see in her. Listen, so often, if we would just stop and listen and say, Lord, what are you saying here? How do you want me to respond to this person? Listen, because even witnessing can just become a work. I'm just going to invite every person that I see to church because it's the thing to do, because I should. Or, you know, I'm just going to, and that's, it's important that we invite people to church. It's important that we leave tracks, that we witness to people. Our goal as Christians should be to see people like God sees them. And God sees a world that really, really will spend an eternity in hell if they don't get their lives right. If they don't surrender to Him, they really will spend an eternity somewhere. But even that as Christians can be overwhelming. And so we can either be on one side where we just stop caring and we just focus on ourselves and us four and no more and trying to get through my own life. Or we can be so overwhelmed with, God, I don't even know. I don't even know how to reach them. Listen, the answer is to walk just like Jesus walked. Just say, Father, I only want to speak what you tell me to say. And then if God gives you and he tells you to speak, then even if it's hard and, you know, you ask God for an opportunity, you ask him for boldness and you step out in that boldness. And so Jesus would have times like with the woman at Samaria where he needed to go through Samaria. Why is that? Because God had already prepared that woman's heart and God knew what was going to happen. And so we as Christians need to learn to be swift to hear. And that happens. You can't be ready to hear if you're talking all the time. And it is so important because we as people are often so quick to speak without thinking before we speak. And the Bible says in John, let me find it in my notes. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 through 37. I want to start with verse 37 and then we'll go back. It says, "For by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned." Verse 35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So often we could save ourselves so much drama if we would just be quiet until we know what to say. If we would be quiet when somebody comes and tells us gossip, rather than getting involved in it, just be quiet and pray. If rather than casting judgment, when we hear something about somebody, if we would just be quiet and pray. If rather than, you know, responding when somebody says something hurtful or ugly to us, if rather than responding, we would just be quiet and be quick to hear, slow to speak. Now, as we listen to God, though, then he will show us and we can speak the words that he would have us to speak and we'll have less regrets when we stand before him. John chapter 12, this is what Jesus said in verse 49. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." This requires us, though, as Christians, to not just take our Christianity and run with it on our own, because that's easy to do. As you learn how to do Christianity, well, I know I'm supposed to do these things. So we can, even as Christians, we can separate ourselves from the relationship with the one that has called us. And we can just begin doing good things because we know we're supposed to. Well, I know that I'm supposed to do this, and I know that I'm supposed to do that. This relationship is just that. It's a friendship. It's a relationship where we listen to him. We hear what he would have us to say. We do what he would have us to do. We do his pleasure and not our own. And then we can walk in right relationship with him. And it is a wonderful, exciting, blessed walk. Brian was talking this morning in Sunday school that God wants to give us good things. In fact, in James chapter 1, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. I believe God wants to give us good things. He wants to bless us. He wants to give our lives purpose and meaning. He wants to allow us to minister and to speak his words. So this walk with him is not just a burdensome, I can never speak and I don't. It is a wonderful, I have less regrets. I don't say things that I wish I could take back, because all of us have said things. And as soon as we said it, we go, oh, if only I could just grab those words back. All of us have done that. So the more that we learn to surrender our tongue and our mind and our heart to God Almighty, the less regrets that we have. and the less hurt we cause in relationships, and the more that what we say will matter. Because we're not just speaking what I feel or what I think or what I think needs to happen in this situation. We're hearing from God Almighty and speaking the words that He's telling us to speak. And that is an exciting thing. And you can be that way, to where just all throughout in every conversation, you're just listening. And you learn this, which thoughts come from God. And you learn as those thoughts come, you just speak what He's telling you to speak. Now, it is an exciting, but sometimes, like, it's a learning process. I will just tell you, because I'm still learning to hear what God's telling me to speak. And I remember when I first started, God, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. It was like everything that I said was like halted, like, because I didn't want to. God, do you want me to say that? And that's often how it starts. And that's a good, it's better to be that way than to say a bunch of stuff and not be God. And so when you first start listening, you just learn to keep your ear open. Like, God, do you want me to say that? And if you feel at peace, then you say it. As God opens the door, you speak. And then the thoughts come and you speak the thoughts that God is putting in your mind and heart to speak. And sometimes you hear a thought and you go, God, is that you? But as you get to know Him, then there are still sometimes, honestly, that I hear a thought and I go, God, is that you or is that me? And so just like this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about, you go, God, if that's you, will you just confirm it? Will you show me for sure that it's you? And then again, you wait, which is hard for most of us in our flesh. I have learned, and I talked to God. I told God just today, God, now you know that when you tell me something and I feel like it's you, I get very excited. So please help me not to say anything until it's you. Because sometimes God will speak to me things about people in church. Like, He'll reveal something and I'm going, God, I feel like that's you revealing something. But now I'm excited and I want to just run over and tell them. And sometimes it's not the right time. And so I just am honest with God. God, now you know me and you know that I get excited when you tell me these things. So please help me to wait and please help me to let you lead me. And that just burst a closeness in our relationship with God. And so we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's the last part. Slow to wrath, because the verse says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need to be very careful, especially when we're ministering to people. Because often, if you're ministering and you're talking and you're witnessing to somebody, what happens is often, if you're witnessing to somebody, their views are different than yours. And if you're quick to anger, you can stop the flow of that conversation real quick. Just by getting angry, and now it becomes an argument, and who's going to win, and I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong and lose the relationship in the process. And that's not the goal. The goal is that we stay swift to hear, slow to speak. And when you feel your cackles rising just because this person doesn't agree or because they're saying something, and we as Christians feel very strongly about what we believe. And so we need to be careful, because sometimes we can get very defensive to the point that we can, you know, get angry at the person and forget the goal that we're trying to reach the person. And so Jesus, often they would ask Him, I mean, they asked all kinds of questions that could make Him very defensive. But Jesus just stayed tuned in with the Holy Spirit, stayed listening to the Father, and spoke what the Father told Him to say. And sometimes, if you look, He wouldn't even defend Himself. They asked Him, by what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus said, I believe probably often He stopped and just listened. Or He was just in such communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit that he just knew what to say. And He said, John's baptism, tell me, was that of men or was it from God? And the Pharisees thought, and they said, well, if we say it was from God, then they'll say, well, why didn't you get baptized and believe in Him? And if we say it was from men, then the people are going to have an uproar because they all know He believed He was a prophet. And so they answered Him, well, we're not going to tell you. And Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, we could say, Jesus had every authority. Why would He not say, because I'm the Son of God, so I have the authority? Because He was listening to the Father. And right then, it was not the time to say that. And so rather than doing what He maybe, or what we think He should have said, or how we think He should have responded, He was listening, tuned into the Holy Spirit and how to respond. So my challenge to you today, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And you've probably all heard this, but there is a reason that we have two ears and one mouth. We need to listen twice as much as we speak. And that can be hard. And listen, even the thoughts, we need to learn to even our thoughts, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you allow, even if you're a quiet person, there are a lot of quiet people that they might not speak it, but if you're allowing your thoughts to have, and you're just allowing them to go, and you're just thinking all of these terrible things, you need to be careful with that, because eventually it is going to come out of your mouth. It might only come out in 3 words instead of like 40, like the talkative person, but still, we can be just as dangerous with our words with only a few. So we need to be careful that not only our words, but our thoughts are submitted to God. And so many times we just need to say, Lord, would you just help me? Would you just show me how to see this situation, how to see these people, how to see, God, these people that you want me to minister to? And so as this song plays, I just felt led to just play this song as we're closing. God is a good father. This song says you are a good, good father. Walking with him is such a privilege. And I'm going to tell you, it is so much a better way to live, to be submitted to him, to do things his way, to speak. And I would love to be at the place where everything that I said was only what God would have me to say, but I'm not there yet. But I'm closer than I was a year ago. And so as we walk with him, we remember, God, you are a good father, and you are the one who brought me into this relationship by the word of your truth. And I am who I am because of what you did, Lord Jesus, on the cross. He is a good father. And as we walk with him as a good father, he can show us what to say and how to respond.